Hanging out with one another. But we come in here and our coming together is a declaration to the world, to all the worlds. We are here to proclaim the good news that Jesus is the King who
resisted as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as final judge to rule.
All right. Get together when we get out here and pray, Steve, man.
This is how I fight my
like I'm so
8, let's read together.
Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
And we thank you, Father, this morning, because when we say Lord, we can say our Lord. You are our ruler, our Father, our Savior, our ever-present help and our spirit. You are all that and so much more.
Yes,
and we are just here today fighting our battles, fighting through life, not with weapons that man made, but with the weapons that you have given us. The ability to come to your throne in prayer, to sing your songs in praise, and to call out to you in prayer. Father, we thank you today.
Hallelujah.
For this meeting of your people. This is how we fight our battles. Together, shoulder to shoulder, standing on the truth of your word. Be exalted in this place, in this earth today. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Throwback time.
Yeah.
But it's one we love, right?
Yeah.
When people ask us, do you have a good answer?
Yeah.
Why you sing?
Why you sing?
Why you sing?
Someone asked the question, why do we sing? When we
In-house Kirk Franklin.
He's early, y'all.
Pastor Kirk and all. Oh my God.
Sound good.
Amen, y'all. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so just by way of a couple of announcements, before I forget, on second Sundays, there's no kids' church. That's the planning of the Children's Church administration. They sit and they have their meetings and do what they do to plan things out. So every second Sunday, there's no kids church. So when we do have kids in here, obviously, that one right there, gonna make sure she and everybody gonna be in order. Amen. Amen. So as we know, Pastor is bringing the word today. Pastor, you're gonna be talking about resurrection and
resurrection of Jesus, resurrection of the dead, resurrection of the body. Thank you, Pastor Tate, for plowing the field for me.
Amen. All right. Every Tuesday, 4 o'clock, Minister Richard Overall on Blog Talk Radio. If you guys don't want to listen to him on Blog Talk, of course, you can go on his YouTube page as he's doing it. He's recording himself so you can watch him and hear him. He got a ton of those on there. He got a lot. Like, it's a lot. So he's been in training day forever. But I think that's probably where he's going to stay. So that's where he's at. So Wednesdays at 6 o'clock. Bible reading class. Again, if you need a book, make sure to get with Pastor O or go to the church website, rfcm.org, and request one. Pastor Sarah this week is teaching the lesson entitled The Sin of Achan. Every Friday, 7 o'clock, Deaconess Kathy is on Blog Talk Radio with Bring Back the Family. The biggest new announcement is beginning on Monday, November 27th at 6 o'clock on Blog Talk. We're going to have a new Bible class entitled Biblical Giving. Again, it is going to be taught from Pastor O's book, Biblical Giving, and Pastor O is going to teach the class. If you're a member of Run for Christ Ministries and you don't already have the book, get with Pastor O. You can get a book for free, and I believe, or with Sheila, because he just pointed to you. So if you need a book, get with Sheila, go to the church website, make that request. And I believe, Pastor, you said if people are visitors and they attend at least twice a month, they can also get the book, and it's no charge to anyone.
Also, it's only going to be a 5-week class. It won't be like one and on. This is an ad hoc class, you know, to kind of pop up and go away. So.
Okay. All right. So basically take us to the new year. All right. So everything, obviously, you guys know that we have on at Run for Christ Ministries on Blog Talk Radio, recorded, archived, free, jobs, books, classes, resources, and more. Avetrius did not text me anything new as far as resources. So just make sure you go to the church website and check all that out. If you want to pay tithes or give any offerings, of course, go to the church website. We will have altar call today, so I won't read you my prayer list. Birthdays this month. Pastor Terrence is on the 9th tomorrow. Pastor Janice is on the 10th. Miss Quanaya back there dancing for her birthday. Her birthday is on the 15th. Deaconess Loretta, her birthday is on the 15th. Jedediah on the 16th. He's going to be two, right?
Yes.
Okay. Jedediah, Cameron on the 19th, and Micah on the 29th. Amen. All right. All right. And so your devotional for today is entitled We Love Because God First Loved Us. You will have an easier time loving other people when you have God's love flowing through you. Again, we love because he first loved us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. God is always first in everything. He takes the initiative. The only reason you can love God or anyone else is because God first loved you. God has shown us his love in so many ways. He showed his love by sending Jesus Christ to earth to die for you. He showed his love by creating you. He showed his love by giving you everything you have in life. We love because God first loved us. If you want to learn how to love other people, you first got to understand and feel how much God loves you. When you feel his unconditional love, you're going to start cutting people a lot more slack. You're not going to be as angry as you've been in the past. You're going to be more patient. You're going to be more forgiving, and you're going to be more merciful. You're going to show other people grace. The reason why you see people who are judgmental, sarcastic, angry, self-righteous, and always putting other people down is because they don't really grasp how much God loves them. And that usually means they don't feel good about themselves because they don't feel loved or forgiven. They haven't fully understood God's grace, and so they feel guilty and bad about themselves. And even if they feel bad about themselves, they certainly don't want you feeling good about yourself. Maybe you're one of those people. Maybe you've been hurt by parents or peers or partners. Maybe you've been abused, misused, rejected, abandoned, or betrayed. You've got some scars on your heart. But here's the truth. You cannot give to others what you have not received yourself. Unlovely people are unloved people. Hurt people hurt people. If you're filled with anger and impatience and you don't feel love, guess what? You won't be able to love anybody else. You have to learn how much God loves you and let it heal your heart so he can flow through you. It is impossible to love others until you really feel loved yourself. The Bible says we know and rely on the love God has for us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. So do you know the love of God? Do you rely on the love God has for you? You will have an easier time loving other people when you have God's love flowing through you. Amen?
Amen.
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 Good job, Sister Crystal.
Amen. Praise God. I have been promoted to bishop.
And to your feet, it is time for offerings. Our deacons will assist you with envelopes and cash in their baskets. During this next song, which y'all should know where we're by now.
Oh,
Face difficulties with our bodies, Lord, that you give us more faith so that we know who's in control.
Yes, right.
Lord, thank you for your sovereignty, Lord, and thank you for ruling over all of the dominions that are here, Lord, and thank you for just stretching your deity from the east to the west and the north and the south, Lord. We ask that you just continue to pour out all of the blessings and favor that you continue to want us to have on a daily basis. Lord, as Congress comes to agreements, Lord, allow the Holy Spirit to fill the room. Allow the Holy Spirit to consume the believers that are there, Lord, so that they can advocate for so they can advocate the best way they can advocate for our country.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for the minds that are there, Lord, and challenge the thinking of those leaders to only want the truth and nothing but the truth from your word.
Yes.
Allow your word to be consumed by as many people as possible, Lord, in those areas, and allow them to be able to be bold and stand up for your purpose and your purpose only.
Yes.
We also ask for that same favor, Lord, so when we go through this life and we go through things that we don't know what's going on, Lord, allow your word to be true in every situation that we have. Allow your word to be able to be meditated on day and night, Lord, and we ask that you continue to just encourage us to read your word for ourselves.
Yes, yes, yes.
Bless our minds, Lord, so that we aren't consumed by the things that Satan wants us to hear, Lord. Bless our temptations, Lord. Bless our bodies, Lord, so that temptations don't consume us, Lord, so that we're not knocked away from the goal.
Amen.
Allow us to walk this walk with you hand in hand, Lord. Allow the Holy Spirit to be illuminated even more in all of our lives, and allow your love to be shown on a daily basis.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Allow the smallest of things to be revealed to us as you and you alone. Mm. And Lord, as we continue to use our gates, allow your fountain of life to refresh us, so that we know what we're looking at and have the discernment to decide. We ask that you again bless us, of course, with life and strength and all of those things that we need on a daily basis. But the things that we don't need, Lord, allow those things to be taken away so they're not idols.
Yes.
Allow idolatry to be on our list, Lord, because that's one of the things that we sometimes know and we sometimes don't. And that's how we get caught up. And Lord, as we continue to walk this walk, allow us to only point to you for direction. Allow your word to just be implanted on our hearts, Lord, and implanted in our speech, Lord, and restore anything that needs to be restored so that we're vessels for you. Thank you again for being amazing and sending your son for the ultimate sacrifice, Lord, and allowing us to even be able to sit at your feet whenever we decide. Allow our free will to be able to be molded and not conformed by this world, but transformed through the renewing of our mind for you. Thank you again for everything that you have blessed us with, and we pray that you bless every family that's represented here, Lord, and give them what they need for what they came here for, Lord. Give them what they need. Fill them back up. Allow them to be able to go into the world and be your disciples. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for the things that we don't deserve. Thank you for allowing your son to take what we did deserve, Lord. And we ask that you remind us of that sacrifice as we continue to walk this walk and think it's our plan that it is. Remind us of what Jesus gave up so we can live and move and have our being, Lord. And encourage us to encourage someone else to be saved.
Yes.
Encourage us to be that model to somebody else so that when they're going through it, they know that they can get the truth from you, Lord. Encourage us to encourage others to encourage others, Lord. Thank you again for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Come on, stand on your feet. You got one more. See, you got limited sopranos this morning. I'm making last minute changes. We're here to do something important. To pour out our praise, to present our bodies, to worship.
Thank you.
Here I am.
gods that people worship demand from them. Most of the gods people worship want people to sacrifice themselves to him. But our God demands nothing. And he sacrificed his only son
for us.
For us.
Amen.
Is he worthy of praise?
Church.
Good morning.
I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. That is Psalms 122, verse 1. I am Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to announce our teaching pastor, Gerald Marshall Overall. He has prepared another meal for our inner men to help our fruit mature and increase. Let us listen with ears to hear our very own shepherd, Pastor O, as he delivers a message from the Most High God. This is part 20 of the New Testament sermon series. The text will be from 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verses 3 through 8, verses 12 through 14, and 35 and 36. So that's chapter number 15, verses 3 through 8, 12 through 14, and 35 and 36. And it reads as follows. I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. Drop down to verse 12. But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. Drop down to verse 35. But someone may ask, how will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies will they have? What a foolish question. When you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. So, church, repeat after me.
Okay.
Pastor O.
Pastor O.
Break it down for us.
Break it down for us.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Deaconess Rebecca. I appreciate it. Thank you, Deacon Edward, for allowing your wife to calm me down before I get up here and have a nervous breakdown. Amen. Appreciate it. Amen. See, you know, you have to do everything right. And so for her to become the reader, she had to have permission of her husband, who is the head of the house, head of the marriage. Amen. And of course, he said yes. Amen. Okay, we got the title. We got the title, head of the house. I don't know if it's really like that, because I'd be like, Jesus, really? I mean, then why is she always telling me what to do? I'm like, Jesus, you're the head who gets to do what she tells you to do. So you're the head. You're the head because I said so. Now she on a whole nother level.
But amen, that's the way it works. So usually, you know, behind every strong, successful man, there is a woman. Amen. Y'all know I did history, right?
Yes.
And so as I went through history, I found, unless the man was single, I found that to be the case, that their wives became great advisors to them, okay, and helped them to make the right choices, amen, and to make the right moves, and they were super successful, amen. They're going to do it, so you might as well get ready for it. Just keep telling yourself, I'm the head, I'm the head. Amen. And maybe one day, you know, I don't know. No, it ain't going to happen. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Father, thank you for the resurrection. Yes. Help us to get this, Lord, so that we understand that the work that we're doing right now is nowhere near in vain, but we should work heartily, wholeheartedly, knowing that everything that we do for you has an end. Yes. And one day we'll be rewarded for the work that we've done. We'll all stand before you, Jesus. And as you said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, that we'll give an account of the deeds done in this body, whether they are good or bad. We know the bad deeds turned out to be wasted time, wasted mind. But then everything we did do for you, you are gracious and loving and kind enough to reward us for that. Even though everything we do, you do through us. So we thank you. Help us to understand this resurrection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
So they hear your word today.
So they hear your word today.
And bless my heart.
And bless my heart.
So it receives your word today.
So it receives your word.
Because I acknowledge to you
that
my ways and thoughts
are
not like yours. But I am here today to transform my thinking. According to your word, so I can always know good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life. Amen. Isn't that awesome that God has good, pleasing, and perfect will for our lives? So anything else that's going on is not him. That's not his plan. As Janice has been teaching us in class that, amen, if we're not flourishing, that is what? Not God's plan for us.
Right.
Amen. But he's going to use whatever it is we're going through, struggling with, amen, or suffering, right?
Yes.
To make us better.
Yes.
That's hard to believe sometimes, especially when you're in it. Yes. When you're in it and going through it, it is hard to believe. So this is good for me. This is going to work out for my good. This might not be good to me, it might not be good in my mind, but isn't it wonderful that God, if we let him, will make everything work, all things work together for the good of those who what? Love God and are called according to his purpose. So we thank him for that. Just a little bit on last week on them tongues, okay, so that we understand. Tongues is something that is a gift that God gives us. Right?
Yes.
But the person who speaks in tongues, right?
Yes.
Only speaks to God and themselves.
Yes. Right.
They themselves are unfruitful and have no idea what they're saying to God. Paul said, pray that you might be able to interpret, amen, what's been said in those tongues. Tongues then is a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Paul would rather that we speak plain language to people that they can understand rather than trying to impress them with some kind of miracle or some kind of thing. Amen? Because if you go to Revelation 13 and you're just going to believe God because of miraculous things done by somebody, then you're going to be a sucker for the Antichrist. Because he's going to make fire come down from heaven right in the sight of men. And the Bible says that everybody's going to flock after him because of that. He's also going to die. I don't know how he's going to be killed, but he's going to be killed. He's going to die. Amen. And in 3 days, guess what he's going to do? He's going to get back up. And when he does that, many people are going to believe he is who? Jesus the Christ. Amen. So, amen, we got to be careful all the time, especially when we see people speaking in tongues. If they don't have an interpreter, I want you to know this. When you see somebody speak in tongues and they don't have an interpreter, as far as you're concerned, they just threw up on themselves or something.
Yes.
Because if without an interpreter, they have no idea what they see, and neither do they, and neither do we. So we are yet unfruitful. So I wouldn't even be impressed. The only thing that's going to impress me when you speak in tongues is that you be able to interpret what's been said.
Amen.
Other than that, amen, you're disobedient to God. And I don't care who it is, if it's T.D. Jakes, if it's Joyce Meyer, if it's anybody, one of your favorite preachers who you listen to all the time, as soon as they get real happy and they start to show kind of that, if you don't interpret, you are a disobedient pastor, preacher, Bible teacher.
That's right.
Okay, because the Bible says speak to yourself and God. Okay, keep silent in the church. So why do they do that? Do they not know?
To impress.
Go ahead, preacher. To impress. That's why they do it. They want you to say, oh, wow, Oliver is so spiritual. Every time I talk to him, he's just talking in tongues. I don't know what he's saying, but it's so godly. Yeah. Really? Really? Oliver could be choking, and you over here thinking he's speaking. He over here trying to say, help me. You like, go ahead, brother, let the Lord use you. You over here about to choke to death. You over here thinking he's speaking in tongues. I ain't speaking in tongues. Help me. On the back or something. Amen. Unless they have an interpreter, they're just blowing smoke, right? Now, Paul turns his attention to a subject that we have to get. We have to, if we're going to have any comfort in this life about the afterlife, then we have to understand the doctrine of the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
If you were in Pastor Tate's class on yesterday, she already did the heavy lifting. She already explained the hard, deep stuff. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So I should be able to easily walk through there because she already dealt with it. I was so thankful to God because I struggled with preaching through these things, these epistles. I wanted to go somewhere else. I wanted to do something else. I wanted to do something more contemporary, something that people are facing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so I struggled. Am I in the right place? Am I doing the right thing? And yesterday the Lord just poured out all kinds of confirmation. It seemed like everybody who prayed, everybody who spoke, everybody who taught, everybody who preached, was all in the same area giving me confirmation that this is where God wants me. We have to understand this resurrection. We cannot explain it to somebody else if we don't understand it ourselves. We can't have the comfort that God wants us to have in this life about this work that we're doing for Him unless we know what the prize is. Martin Luther King could have never reached civil rights, that 1964, he could have never reached that date if he didn't keep his eye on that prize. He knew what he was marching for. He knew what he was protesting for. He knew when he sat in that jail, I got a book by him while he was in the jail. He knew why he was in that jail, why he was there. And he was like Paul and Silas. He wasn't in the jail bemoaning his situation, but he was in that jail knowing that I'm not to the prize yet. These people are not there yet. Oh, he was so into the prize that he knew that the people would get to the prize even if he didn't. On his last night of this life, he said, I don't know if I'm going to get there with you. But God has allowed me to go up and look over and see that y'all going to get to the prize. I might not get there with you, but we as a people will get to that place. So keeping your eye on that prize, okay, keeps you motivated.
Yes.
While you're going through the stuff of life, while you're battling the devil. So understanding the resurrection, even though the devil is a defeated foe,
okay,
and all we have to do is stand on the word and he's a done deal. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay.
He cannot defeat God's word.
No.
That's why he don't want us to know it. And that's why he don't want us, if we know it, to stand on it. He don't want us to be those people who build our house on the rock.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be the people who build on the sand. So when his storms come, when God allows him to Job us, amen,
amen,
that we'll lose faith. The devil always in God's face talking about, if you let me do this, they'll curse you to your face. He blames God. He accuses us, he's the accuser. That's just what, Satan, right? Hasatan, the accuser of the brethren. He accuses us of having false motives all the time, ulterior motives for doing what we do for the Lord. Amen? But when we stand on God's word, we cannot move. Just like Jesus said, if you want to call me Lord, then you need to build your house on the rock. Why? Because when the storms of life come, and they coming, and then sometimes you might not know the reason. These people built houses, right? One on the sand, one on the rock. Did they know a storm was coming? Amen? But one wanted to be prepared if a storm came. And that's why God wants us to know his word, because trust me, Satan is going to get through. Either God's going to let him through for your good, amen. When we get into a sinful lifestyle, he's over there in 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians, he said, turn him over to the devil. Yeah. So he can go ahead and bruise them up real good, amen. And then they'll cry out for the Lord and find their way back to the house. So the Lord wants us to know, because Satan is going to attack. What he wants to do is to make us stop. He don't care if you go to church. Just do not go home and tell somebody about Jesus. He don't care if you go to Bible class. Don't try to instruct nobody where you work. Don't try to instruct nobody in your life to live a better life for Christ. He doesn't care how much money we make, as long as we don't display the love of God by helping people in or outside the body of Christ who are in need. What he wants us to do, you can tell when Satan got you. All you do is think about your life all day long. That's all you do. You think about your worries, you think about your problems, you think about your family, you think about your people, but you don't think about the work of God. You don't think about telling nobody for Christ. You don't wonder if your neighbor even saved. All you wonder about is, how am I going to get through this day? How am I going to get past this trouble? How am I going to get past this week, this month, this minute, this hour, this year? That's what just encompasses our whole life. But if we did what the Lord said, seek ye first above all else the kingdom of God, okay, and his righteousness, all the stuff that we worry about, all the stuff that troubles our minds on a daily basis, he'll take care of that.
Yeah.
Why? Because you are actively engaged in his work. Paul and Silas didn't have to worry about finishing that second missionary journey while they're sitting in that Philippian jail. If the game is up, if the game is over, then good. This is where we die and go to heaven. But if God wants us to preach another sermon, if God wants us to go to Athens, God wants us to go to Corinth, he's going to have to get us up out of here.
Yes.
So we're going to sing praises till Jesus get here and receive us in heaven, or Jesus gets here and release us from this jail. Got to keep your eye on the prize.
Yes.
So Paul speaks to them about the resurrection. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand. By the gospel, you are saved, if you hold firmly to it. Amen?
Yes.
He wants to remind them, amen, that Jesus died and Jesus got up again. The devil had crept into this church and he started telling people Jesus didn't rise from the dead. You know, people say we believe by faith, but they don't understand that faith is believing what God said. Faith is not me standing here trying to make my will something that God didn't say. I have faith because I know what God said.
Yes.
And the word of God said, according to the scriptures, that Jesus was raised on the third day.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Jesus was not raised on the third day and immediately ascended into heaven. But we know that Mary Magdalene, amen, if you were in Bible class for the Day of the Woman, we know that, and they're not even mentioned here. You see how this culture is? The women that saw the risen Jesus first, they're not even mentioned. Peter, who Jesus revealed himself to after the women, okay, now Peter has seen the risen Jesus. But the women don't even get a mention. We know it was Mary Magdalene who saw him first.
Yes.
These are eyewitnesses. If we are getting to the place where we no longer accept eyewitnesses, but we accept the thoughts of human beings concerning the resurrection of Christ, but we don't believe this person over here who says, I saw the risen Christ. These women saw the risen Christ. These women went to his own disciples. Okay? And told them, he is risen. Yes. Peter and John lit out for the tomb, but they didn't see Jesus. And Mary followed behind them after Peter and John left. Mary hung around, Mary Magdalene. Yes. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
And Jesus started playing games with her, Sharon. Mm-hmm. This is like, woman, who are you looking for? Yeah. And she's like, they have taken my Lord and put him somewhere else because she's supposed him to be who?
A gardener.
A gardener. See how Jesus complained. But when he said Mary,
mm-hmm.
she's like, Rabboni.
Yes.
She knew. It's how he said her name.
Yeah.
That's Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We get familiar with people's voices. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
We know when we hear them. But in the beginning, he confused her and just talked like, I don't know, he covered his voice, he changed his voice, he did something, because when he said, who are you looking for, she didn't say Jesus. But when he said her name, amen, there's something when Jesus says your name, you know who it is.
Amen.
Amen. Usually I'm in trouble when he said, but amen. Amen. So he wanted them to know that we are not the only ones who are saying that Jesus rose from the dead. Not just Peter, not just the 12, but he also tells us here something we don't find in the Gospels.
Yes.
That Jesus was seen by more than 500 people, and Paul in AD 55 is writing this book to the Corinthians, right? And says some of those folks are still alive. So the Lord left behind a lot of eyewitnesses, amen,
yes,
to say Jesus rose from the dead. I saw him with my own eyes. Amen. Now we can be like Thomas, touchy-feely. I ain't gonna believe. The 11 were telling him Jesus was here last week, because it's 7 days later when Thomas gets to see him, right? So Jesus was here last week. They're like, ah, y'all crazy. You got scared and went nuts, okay? I'm not going to believe unless I touch the nail print in his hand, see the nail prints in his side or spear stab in his side, then I'll believe. Amen?
Okay.
And when Thomas 7 days later got a chance to see the risen Christ, Jesus told him something. You know, you believe because you saw me, you did the touchy feeling. But blessed are those who believe in me,
yes,
and have never seen me.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
That is faith right there.
Yes, sir.
All of us sitting here this morning believe in a risen Christ.
Amen.
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 He tells us something else that we didn't know. He tells us that James, Jesus' half-brother, also saw the risen Christ.
Yes.
Baby brother deacon. Amen. Well, he's either going to be a preacher or a deacon. I'm like, he's just training for both of them. I'm going to be one of them. I'm going to be I'm going to be on the praise team. Did y'all hear him? Hit that? Wow. Amen. Amen. He on this. He on it, right? But that's what happens when you train them up.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
When they get have fun, when they can come to church and have fun,
yes,
they don't mind going. They wake up and want to go to church and get mad when they can't go. Because they have fun. And that's the way it should be for them. Amen?
Okay.
Amen.
Paul tells us James, Jesus' half-brother, saw him. Amen?
Amen.
And then the other 12 apostles saw him. And then he says, I saw him. Now, if we read Galatians chapter 1, we find out that when Paul went to the deserts of Arabia, Jesus showed up and took him to Bible class for 3 years. And so he saw himself. You'll see where Paul wrote that I didn't receive this gospel that I preach from any human being. I received it from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Paul also wrote a passage of scripture in Acts chapter 20 where he said, you know, brothers, how it is far better. How the Lord himself said, it's far better to give than to receive.
Amen.
And then you try to find that verse, because if you're going to do some real Bible study, you ain't going to just read that and keep on reading. Since he said Jesus said it, you're going to try to find where Jesus said that. But you won't. Why? Because Jesus told him that while he was out there in the deserts of Arabia.
Right.
And in the Bibles that have red printing, because they're the words of Jesus, the Lord is letting us know that while he was teaching Paul, he said, Paul, it's far better to give than to receive.
Amen.
Far better. So Paul saw the risen Christ. Amen.
Yes.
He says, as one abnormally born. In other words, I wasn't with the 12. I wasn't walking with Jesus through the dusty hills of Palestine. I didn't see him open up blind eyes and unstop deaf ears. Amen. I didn't even see him die on the on a Friday. I didn't even see him stay dead on a Saturday. But that's what they tell me, that early, and I wasn't there. Late or early, I wasn't there. But in the deserts of Arabia, Jesus shows up.
Yes.
And gave him a personal class. Amen.
Amen.
So there's plenty of evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. I watched this movie. I can't think of the name of it. It was about a Roman who went in search of the body. They wanted to find the body of Jesus to disprove his resurrection. Amen.
Okay.
And they couldn't find it. And of course, the Roman in the end of the movie, Dr. Mackey, he became a believer. He became a follower of Christ himself. Amen. He became a believer in the risen Jesus based off of the evidence. Now, this is proof of the resurrection. In this first passage about the resurrection of Christ, this is proof. This is not what's called proofs. Proofs have to do with like a circumstantial case in a courtroom, right? That's based on circumstantial evidence. Enough of the evidence after preponderance of the evidence that's been prevented, it's more likely than not this happened. That's called proofs, as in science, right? Putting together enough evidence to say we can believe this, right? But this is eyewitness proof. These are people who literally saw him. Now look, church, we're the church. If we're not going to believe what God said, we're going to say, well, I wasn't there. So you don't believe God's report? This is the inspired word of God. When will we stop doubting what God said? When will we stop saying God's a liar? When will we believe God with all our heart, mind, and soul? And live like that. Not wonder did Jesus get up just because we weren't there. I mean, does he live in you? Does he speak to you?
Wow.
Does he encourage you?
Oh, yeah.
Does he bless you? Does he make things work for you?
Yes.
Or do you ascribe that to, well, it just happened. That's fate. It just turned out that way. No, God is intentional. All things work together for the good of those who what? Love God. And are called according to his purpose. So he's intentional about making things work for us. Amen?
Yes.
I was questioned by somebody who says, man, how can you believe all that stuff in the Bible? I said, because God told Abraham 400 years later that his people was going to be enslaved and he was going to bring them out. And guess what? 400 years later, God's people was enslaved. And guess what he did? He brought them out. So I don't believe just because I read something in the Bible. I believe because I read what God said and I saw where God did it. We call them faith builders.
Yeah.
Amen. So we're not, thank you, we're not ignorant people believing something that somebody told us. No. God said it. God did it. That's why I believe. One time I specifically went through the Bible reading all the way through, all the way to the end, looking for nothing but faith builders. I wasn't even through the first five books of Moses, Mary. I got enough faith builders. I'm good. Because everything God said, now even some stuff happened 400 years later. Some stuff, I mean, he was telling people as much as go this way, you're going to meet, like he told Saul, go down here, you're going to meet these people. Then go over here and you're going to see some people singing and dancing on their way to the temple. Join up with them. And then you're going to see that everything God said had happened exactly like he said. So what Paul is telling us here is we believe in the risen Christ. Why? Because we have witnesses who saw him after he rose from the dead. 500 witnesses. Okay, so you doubt his disciples because they want him back, right? They want people to be afraid of them so that they don't have to be afraid of them.
Okay.
Like it was happening in that upper room, the same thing happened to Jesus, it's going to happen to us. But when they saw, now the Bible says, when they saw Jesus, the risen Jesus, who had been on the cross, tore up from the floor up, when they saw him, I couldn't even believe it, some doubt. I'm like, so what do you, Jesus says, so y'all think I'm a ghost, right? Remember what Janice said? She asked for, how do we know Jesus was real and not a ghost?
They let him touch him.
They let him touch him. Amen. They was touching it. They was feeling. They was like, he's for real. This is the same Jesus I touched. This is the same guy told me, get behind me, saying, that's him. His voice is the same. Amen. They got a chance to see the risen Jesus. So, we believe God's word and we believe the account of the witnesses that saw him. Unless we're in that place where we just don't believe God and he still got to prove what, I mean, if that's not enough proof for you, I don't know what is. Amen?
Amen.
A question is asked in the next passage when it comes to the resurrection of the dead. Amen.
Okay.
Now we've dealt with Jesus. He's risen, right? 500 witnesses, right?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
500 witnesses. Amen. And they have testified to seeing the risen Jesus.
Yes.
And if they didn't believe it, Paul said, some are still alive here 25 years later. These people are still here to give witness that Jesus rose from the dead. I saw him. All of us. One person go not believe 500 people? Amen. Now it takes faith to make that leap to accept Jesus. But these are witnesses. Paul said in Romans chapter 10 verse 17, consequently faith comes by hearing. So that means we have to speak the word of God so faith can come in the people that we're speaking to. God has given people the ability to believe our report, but it's up to them. We can't make them believe. We can't do a hologram with Jesus, right? See that Jesus? Right there. See the nail print in his little side there? See his hand? Or it would be his wrist, because that's in the Greek, that's part of the hand, right? Because you could be putting a nail through here. If the man weighed 50 pounds, he's going to tear his hand off, right?
Yeah.
It's not strong enough to hold, but right between these two bones, it will. Amen?
Amen.
But Paul is saying that there are some that say, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Jesus got up, yeah. Okay? But now we're talking about other human beings. Do you know when Jesus came up out of the tomb on the third day? Well, guess what? Many of the old saints, many of the old followers of the Lord, amen, they came out too. And guess what? They went into the city. So people saw people who had, they loved ones who had died, were raised to death, raised to life again. They saw Lazarus. He was dead 4 days. Lord, his body is in decay. And remember what Janice taught us about those spices? She said she had just found that out. I just found it out when she said.
Okay.
Those spices were there to aid the decaying of the body, to speed up the process. Amen. So, of course, they had done that to Lazarus because he was well off. And now his body is in decay. And both the sisters say, Lord, if you pull back that stone, we're going to have to get up out of here because he stinks.
He's stinking.
Not stink, he stinks. Amen. You like a bunch of pigs and cows and all. You ever been on a farm? Yeah. Yeah, boy. You got you some cows. You got you some pigs. We used to go out in Belleville all the time. I forget the man's name, but we would go out there to his house. My Uncle Buster would take us. His name was William, but his nickname was Buster. Amen. He would take us out there to Al Wesley's house. And we would see horses and everything. Dude Cross Street Day, Billy. Excuse me. He had a big horse. That's what got me into horses. And from age 13, 14, and 15, I lived over in Canada in the summer on a ranch. And would come home, my mother would say, go in that bathroom, boy, you smell like a horse. Literally, okay? My father would get a headache coming to pick us up on the way home. Me and Chris, he'd have a headache. Get out my car. And then he out there washing it up, amen? Yes. Amen, but we would go out there to his farm. And let me tell you something. He had some pigs, some hogs. I mean, these hogs, you could ride them. They was big. Okay, but good God Almighty, that smell. Instant headache, just like that. Instant, your eyes closed, your nose be trying to tear itself off your face. But we had fun out there. We loved going out there. They had the station wagon, and he would let the back window down, and we would be doing this to be. Yeah, you know we was mad, and he was like, why do people looking at me when they go? We don't know. Amen. So they told Jesus he's stinking. Amen. And Jesus told his disciples, you know, before they left to go down there, I'm glad that I wasn't there so that you might see the power of God and believe. And Jesus called a dead man in the sight of, you know, there's a ton of people out there.
Yeah.
Called him right out of the grave.
I know.
Amen. And when they saw Lazarus come out of there wrapped in all that stuff they wrapped him up in, and Jesus said, loosen and let him go. Amen? Amen. But for Lazarus to experience the resurrection, guess what? He had to die.
Yes. Okay.
He had to die to experience the resurrection. Okay. Paul was saying, if you're saying that the dead are not raised, then what you're saying is the dead Jesus. Didn't he die?
Amen.
He died. To the earth rocked and reeled like a drunkard. He died. To the sun refused to sign. He died. Ooh, I used to love that, Ali. I used to love it. I used to love it. Jesus was like, oh, here we go. I'm like, come your boys doing that. Ooh, God, I'm telling you, it was scary. I was low, so I'd be in the pulpit rolling. I'd be like, I'm like, it sounds like a motor don't run right, man. What's up with that? Amen. But they're saying that, hey, if Jesus did not get back up from the grave, okay, then all this, I would be really, I was like, Jesus, he's like, what? I'm like, you know, if you didn't really get up, I'm really mad. If all of this is a head dream, is I'm just tripping, then I'm mad because I could have been drag racing every single Sunday. I could have been at the track every Sunday since 2003. I've been in church every Sunday. If you didn't really get up, then I'm over here tripping and could be racing. You know, for me, it was that like that. But, amen, he got up. Jesus, Paul was telling them, look, if Jesus didn't get up, then nobody gets up. If Jesus didn't get up, guess what, y'all? We still in our sins. Mm-hmm. Our sins haven't been forgiven.
That's
we
right.
can't, who we gonna confess them to if Jesus didn't get up? If Jesus died and he wasn't raised, now what he is speaking to is that hyperstatic union. There's a hyperstatic union. You heard Janice talk about that on yesterday, right? That is Jesus being fully God and fully man. People in the world was troubled with that. There was two groups called the Gnostics and the Monophysites. They had a problem because they had a theology that said all matter of mass is evil. So they could not fathom a holy, righteous, just God being in an evil body.
Okay.
And so for the Gnostics, they simply said, well, he was fully God, okay? He was fully man, but less than God. Amen? He was a human being, but he wasn't God. He was less than God, but a little bit more than regular man. So he was somewhere in this little funny space that we've never read about in the Bible. God never wrote about, yeah, I created somebody who was here, but not there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really? Okay? So they had Jesus in a real funny space to fit. They couldn't believe because they believed more in their theology, their thinking, their understanding of God than they did God's word. You know, I don't know why this thing be following me. Everywhere I go, he pop up. The net. Yeah. Yeah, that's
it. He's been over here.
Yeah, every year. Every year, the same one, I can tell you a little bigger. Amen. Amen. So Paul is saying if Jesus did not get up from the grave, amen, then our faith, our worship, our church going, all of this stuff is futile. We might as well go ahead and be Muslims. Amen. We might as well go ahead and be Buddhists. We might as well walk around here in confusion looking for peace. Amen. We might as well be drag racing. We might as well be doing whatever it is you do on Sunday without going to church. Because if Jesus didn't get up, there's no need for this. Amen. Oh, really? Really, I was going to give up? Amen. If Jesus didn't get up, Paul said, then nobody gets up.
That's right.
All of us.
He got up.
If only we have hope in this life.
Yes.
But there's no hope for the afterlife. Paul says that we are most above all to be pitied. Why? Because our only hope is in this life. We're like everybody else. We have no hope for the afterlife at all if the dead are not raised. We're not saying if Christ is not raised. We're talking about when human beings die, does God have the ability to raise them back up again?
Yes.
Paul said even more than that, we've been found to be liars. Because we said that Jesus is risen from the dead. And if Jesus is not risen from the dead, then we're lying to you.
Yes.
But Christ is indeed raised from the dead. He said, and Adam all died. Amen?
Amen.
But Jesus has become what? The first fruits of all of those who what? Rise from the dead. He did it first. He was the first one to come from the dead, never to have to die again.
Amen.
Lazarus was raised from the dead, but guess what? They had another funeral. Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead, but guess what? They had another funeral. Mm-hmm. The widow of Nain's son was raised from the dead, but they had another funeral.
Okay.
When Jesus got up from the dead, they ain't had another funeral. Mm-hmm. He is alive forevermore.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
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 So if Jesus raised from the dead, never to die again, we will be raised.
Yes.
Yes.
To never die again.
Amen. All right.
So that is the hope that God wants us to have. Amen.
Yes, sir.
That we are raised from the dead to never have to die again. But guess
thank
what,
you,
y'all?
Lord.
To get to the life that the Lord wants us to get to, we have to die.
Amen.
He talks about in the third part, because somebody asked the question, okay, if the dead are raised, what kind of body they going to have?
Ooh.
Amen. Mm-hmm. If the dead are raised, then what kind of body will they have?
Human.
Okay. Well, we're going to answer that question on next week. Amen. When we get to part two of the resurrection. And like, so I got to go to church next Sunday too. See, that's just a trick. Amen.
Let us pray. Okay, pray us out.
Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Father, we thank you that Jesus got up. And we thank you that you gave us over 500 witnesses plus his apostles and plus the women.
Yes, Lord.
who came and told the scary apostles that he was raised from the dead. We thank you for how many people you revealed yourself to, so that we would have irrefutable proof that you in fact did raise from the dead. And Father, we thank you that you are able to raise us when we die. Yeah. We saw you do it with those three, but they had to die again. But we did learn that you can do it. We know, Father, in Adam all died, but in Christ all are made alive. Yes. We know that Jesus became the first fruits of those who should rise from the dead. And we know what you told us over there in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. You said that we are right now citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And we are looking for our Savior, Jesus Christ, to come from there, who by the power that enables him will take these mortal bodies that we have right now and give us, exchange them for glorious bodies like the one he had when he was raised from the dead. Mm-hmm. As Pastor Janice Tate taught us on yesterday, she asked the question, what was Jesus able to do after he rose that he didn't do before? And Father, we cannot wait until next week, until you show us the things that will happen or be able to happen with this glorious body that Jesus is going to give us. Yes. We thank you, Father. We're just little baby gods down here now. We're low-key gods now. But as it was told to us in 1 Corinthians 13, that right now we know everything in part. But when we cross over, when we get where you are, then we will know, even as we are known. Lord, you will help us to understand how when Moses and Elijah showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration, they had some kind of a body. It wasn't a glorified body. It wasn't a resurrection body. But it was some kind of body. Yes. We want to know more about that. When Samuel had passed away, and they had his home going for 30 days, and Saul got so stressed out that he went to a witch to try to get answers, who he had banished from the kingdom himself. But now he can't talk to you. So he goes to her to get her to bring Samuel back to talk to him. We know, Lord, that witch didn't have no idea Samuel was going to pop up. She was just trying to get paid. But Samuel did appear because you wanted him to. Lord, he talked with Saul. And Saul talked with him. He recognized him. But they had buried his body. So we know, Lord, that you have a body for us. And on next week, help us to understand what it's like to have this thing that we live in now versus that glorified body that we'll get later. In Jesus' name, we pray and give you all the thanks and the glory and the honor. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Well,
yeah, that's true.
Wow.
Hey,
why y'all just don't cook? Somebody come cook for me. Put my hand in the washer. Oh, she don't.
Sure, you cook for me.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't see you. Today, you're going to be a long time.